So I am wondering, if you say something in your head, if you hear something in your head without the sound from in your ears, how do you hear it? Like hear a thought.
Yeah. Here, well, it's that's what mind is.
Thank you. That's what the answer I wanted to hear.
Yeah. It's inside. It's inside. What the bigger question is, when you hear a thought on the inside, from whence does it come?
That's the biggest question, absolutely. And I would like to know the answer to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Adi Ashanti used to always say, who is watching the watcher? Kind of like the same thing. It's like...
Yeah. Yeah. It really is, that is the essential question that can't be answered by a being.
Right.
If you have an identity, you can't know of the, you know, something so ephemeral, something so non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
You who exist cannot know about the things that do not exist.
Yeah.
It'd be a different language, you know? We can postulate and chat about it, talk about its impossibility and all that.
So, when I'm sitting with the client and I have an eye, and something comes to me, and I'm sitting, first of all, I'm blank. And all of a sudden something comes to me.
Yeah.
It feels like that came from God's mind rather than the ego's mind. But I don't know if that is or not. But most of the time when I get those thoughts, it seems to work with my clients. So that's kind of why I trust them.
Well, yeah, you can learn that there is a feeling that comes with them. And that's where we differentiate between the ego, you know, other ways that is the ego, right? The body-mind versus... the spirit mind. Still one mind, but in this world of illusion and separation, we have a body mind that just thinks about the body and separation and things of the world. We also can, if we stay on that side of the equation, you come up with something that you would call the subconscious, which doesn't actually exist the way that we describe it. Not this other consciousness. Then you have the spirit mind, which is, in the Course in Miracles, call your right mind. This is what you wake up into and dedicate yourself to as the truth.
Does the body mind always have to be an egoic production?
Yep.
Okay.
That's where it is. That's what it is, mm-hmm. and what it deals with.
Even if it feels good when you use it and it works.
Even if it makes the most beautiful paintings and children and charitable foundations that last a whole life without even one sexual Me Too scandal in the whole organization. Yeah. Yeah. Because the world is...
The,
yeah, because the world is separation.
Okay.
And the ego is separation.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the body-mind is separation and... such details, and the spirit mind is its opposite in every way.
Okay,
not so, just a little bit.
So then when in the book it says you don't know how to do this and you're stuck there and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then I get the impression the only way it's ever going to be different for me is when everybody's doing it again. Is that true? Under the knowing.
Well, yes and no, but not the way you're thinking of it.
Thank you, because I don't like the way I'm thinking of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the words are okay, but not, I know how you mean it, and it's not, that's not how it is.
Okay.
Because there aren't, in the right mind, there aren't others who are separate or need to get it. In the right mind. When you wake up, you will understand clearly. There's nobody who needs to get it. Because being a body is not getting it.
Okay. So then my next question is, at some time I either heard or read that you can wake up without your body dying first.
Yeah. That's the invitation to the Holy Spirit. And... The key thing there is that the you who you think is waking up does not wake up. The one, the when, Luann is the ego. She is separate. And she's a character in a separate dream, and she always will be. That's what Luann is. You can't wake up, because then there wouldn't be the dream. So Luann doesn't wake up. But since it's one mind, and mind is real, you can open your spiritual eye, and you can see from that one perspective. That's waking up. And you can do that anytime, anywhere, since, you know, even in a body. But careful now.
Yeah, I am trying to be.
Right? Yeah, and the Course is... I just respect this book so much because it walks this line without spilling the beans so fast you could misquote it. I mean, it's as... what we're talking about is two different levels of existence, only one of which is real.
Can you be in two different levels and recognize the spiritual I one while you're living in the other one?
You can... talk of it, you can memorize it, you can read of it, you can pretend. And however, you must cross the bridge and spend even just a moment now as the other, as spirit. You must spend at least one moment fully as spirit. Spirit dedication.
Mm-hmm.
That is the awakening that dismisses the reality of the world. Now, you will still dream and have a body and children and a life and the whole bit. Jobs and sickness and all the whole bit. But the difference is, you will now know that what you're doing is not the truth. As real as it plays out, it's now like watching a good movie that's been finished. Got all the characters and the credits are at the end, and it has scenes and acts and wonderful phrasing and music in the middle and the whole bit, all sorts of wonderful things, but you know that it's not true.
If I go deep enough, I know it's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
But it's hard to stay that deep.
Indeed. Because when you're in the water, when you're in water, you swim.
It's the story of the fish, huh?
It's the story of the fish. Yeah. And the focus of Luann is in the water of the ego. You will swim in time and space. You will. As soon as the air starts getting hard to breathe and the water gets close to your nose, the arms will flail and you will live as a body. Lives. However, after your awakening, and even along the way, you know, as soon as you have that first awakening, or the light, that little light we're talked about so many times here, overcomes all the darkness your mind can imagine. Even though it's little, see? The world's big, and it comes every day. And that light may be very small, as you've experienced. But it was so damn clear and bright, you cannot forget it. It's more real, it's more true. That little light of awakening. That moment, that one day, on a Tuesday at 2:30, and you were reading this book, and it was time for you to say, well, I'm not a body. I am free. I am still as God created me. And in that utterance, or any of the 100 others in this book that have the same power, you awake to that you are not what you think you are. You are what you are. And when there's a difference between that, there's no turning back.
But I sure say my ego fights it. I get a moment of that, and the next thing I know, I've got some kind of crazy thought that I think, I don't want that thought right now. Doing what I was, where I was before.
Yes, indeed.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Like, our understanding is not necessary or a contribution to the truth of what this mm-hmm. process points to ultimately, right?
I see
it's
that,
not
yeah.
something that we have to, like, learn necessarily about. It's a
yes.
thing through which, at the end, we will have changed in some manner that doesn't involve... retaining or combining concepts and holding on to those as a
memorizing and mastering and all that, correct? Correct. That is absolutely correct.
The book has some great quotes on that, in fact.
Yeah. I think that when you have those moments when that you're talking about, when you have feel that sense of freedom.
Yeah.
It's like there's a knowing, but there's also like a, you know, this like of course, you know.
Yes.
And you don't feel like you have to do anything at that point. There is no learning or trying to get somewhere. You just are.
Yes.
Right? And, you know, I experienced that for maybe like 30 seconds in my entire life.
But it's very different when you do.
Yeah. Right. I remember those moments.
Yeah, they're so far beyond what you could have put together from all your learned concepts that it's obviously different.
Yeah.
It's another level of awakening. And that's correct.
Oh, it's a relief, too, to know that there's nowhere to go.
Yes.
There's no place to get to.
Nobody is smart enough
to
do that, to assemble it from pieces in the world. Now, have you ever done anything creative? Do you, in your work, where you've solved a problem?
Sure.
And it's sort of, you didn't see it happen, it coming. But then you were, oh, wait a minute. This could go here, this could go there. And then, this could do that. And you go, yeah. That kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And you could have gone into a classroom of all the books ever written on the topic. But they weren't there with that particular situation, or your painting. Another great example, if you're a musician, you know, or an artist, you could not have done it until you did it. That came from nowhere, but wow, is it genius? It's brilliant. It's beyond me. That recognition is what it is like. Because it does not, it did not come from somewhere in the world. That's what creation is. You not come from something already done to be repeated. Yeah. So and that is a real relief too, that you know, and I love this book, because this book, as big as it is, there's not something to do. There's something to undo. Mm-hmm. And this is a very generous, delicate, day by day way to help you stop doing what you're doing, blocking the awareness of what you're talking about. It's there, it's already there. But truth is true. It's always been true if it's true. You didn't start someplace. So yeah, you got it. Yeah. But there is something to undo. There's something, because it keeps coming back. It's so trusted. The ways of the ego is so habitual.
You have that moment, the next thing, the ego is arguing against it. Mm. And then it's telling you why you shouldn't be there. And then it's telling you, and it keeps on going, and I have to go and do something, like read a stupid book in order to get my thoughts off of what the ego is trying to tell me to do.
Yes. Never underestimate your ego, for you are in its domain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Until you're not.
I had a funny story. I was bike riding a friend of mine, and we were riding along, and on this small road, this car, you know, it was right by a park and stuff, and this car, I hear this engine roaring and the honk of a horn, and we both look at each other and go, is someone honking at us? And we were like on our own lane. There was another lane there. It's like, oh. And sure enough, this car just, I mean, I felt the hair on my leg, you know, it was that close. Right away, we're both like, you know, come here, I'm gonna, you know. I'm like, Connie, you still, because the brake lights went on, I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, Connie, you still have that pepper spray on your bike? Because I saw this little canister she carries. She goes, no, it's a flashlight.
Reverse miracle.
But then your talk last week about the flashlight in the dark, right? It will light up the dark. And I'm like, all right, we got this one. Talk about shift back from the ego to, you know, kind of back and forth. And it really helped me shift from realizing the guy had a problem, there's something going on in me, he didn't like bike riders, to get that instead of going with, you know, still, God, what an asshole, you know, the rest of the bike ride. it was fun to play with that.
Nice.
Yeah, like the flashlight in the dark.
Beautiful. What you just described perfectly is a section that we call above the battleground in the text. And it's where you see that there are two sides to the situation, the driver and the bike rider. And you have every right to go after him, and he has every right to go after you. And, you know, but you rose above. You said, you know what? Let me just look at it from his point of view. He's just mad about bike. It's not personal. And for you to carry that burden on your bike ride just makes your life miserable. So you stood up and says, well, let the bike rider be the bike rider and the car driver be the car driver. Flip them off and yell. But let it be done. And you could just look at it and enjoy it. Yeah, now the Holy Spirit can work with you because you don't have all this anger and attack in the way. Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
Virgil. Yeah, we were just hoping he didn't go home and beat his wife or, you know, that obviously had some issue.
Yeah.
And then we both and especially don't go home and kick the dog.
We're not the dog.
People.
If you got a cat, you could do a few things if you need, but not the dog.
Not the dog.
But that would be the ego coming back in and saying you need to be mad at him because he might do that.
Another layer, right?
Yeah.
Another go layer. Fix him before he goes home. Fix him.
Yeah.
No, it was a forgiveness opportunity. It's like, oh yeah, forgiveness opportunity.
Yes. That's right. Like Gary Renard says, Jaffo, just another forgiveness opportunity.
Yeah.
That's how you swear in A Course in Miracles now, right? Yeah. Jaffo.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The new F word.
The new four-letter word.
Forgive.
Yeah. No, very good. Well, you know, we're talking about two sides of a coin that never meet. It's one mind, but it has two existences. They do not meet. One can think about the other, but were you to see it, the coin would be flipped, actually. Were you actually be in spirit, the ego's face down on the table, it's not seen. Because it's not real, it's not there. It's not there. But then, when the ego faces up, the spirit is just talk. Because the spirit is not there. It's like heat from a fire, you know, you can kind of feel it. We talk about it here, and you decide you're going to abandon the cold of the ego. That happens. And we move toward the spirit. And it will come for moments. That's why meditation is so handy, because you are willing to close your eyes, still your body, and release the world. And open your full mind to this other identity, other existence. You must cross this bridge.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that word, must.
Is there a recommended practice other than the daily, like the daily lessons?
They don't keep you busy? The lessons are.
I'm just getting back in.
No, I know where you're coming from. Yeah. There are because there are a couple of books that I recommend other people who have heard this same voice, the same author. If you just need something to keep you going, they're wonderful. When you actually do the workbook as it prescribes, which means every hour, a quarter of the hour, sometimes it says maybe 10 times an hour would be a good minimum. Wait, that's every 6 minutes. But you should say something like, my attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability. Wait a minute, that's me attacking my... You need to think about that a lot through the day, with the day coming at you. And the people in the car cutting off the bicycle, for crying out loud, that's not even legal. Wait a minute, my attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability. Can you have to do that every 6 minutes? To really catch your ego. So, but then, you know, yeah, there are some great books. There's the top of the one would be Journey Beyond Words by Brent Haskell. Really easy read. super short.
Is it written in words?
It's written in words. In English. Yeah. And, well, you know, if he says full sentences, I'm not sure how to answer. You know?
Yeah. Well, they're partly blank. It's very interesting the way it's written, because it's written almost like stanzas.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But it's a very easy read, but I would find myself like... you know, pick up a page thinking I'll read a chapter and meditate on that for today, and I'd get like a paragraph and a half in and I'd be like, whoa, I just need to stop and think about that. And so it became pretty obvious like what I needed to meditate on, but I never got very far before I felt like I needed to like sit with it.
Neat. Yeah,
it's a pretty good book.
That's why I say it's this offer. Yeah.
Right.
Coming through a different, because it's so powerful. And then you recognize pieces of this book coming out in different words. And you go, whoa, yeah. So you shift a little bit, you see the same work, and you got to step back and just breathe that in.
I find I can't have to do that with this book. I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I read the instructions for each lesson, for instance, and it takes me an hour, often an hour and a half.
Yeah, man, you're doing it right. It should be slowing you down.
Yeah. So to grasp it all for a split second.
Yeah, right.
Every line takes...
Yeah.
Going back over to it three times, then an underlanding, and then maybe I get it for a split second.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the next line.
Simpler.
Always in. Mm-hmm. I'll check it out. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a couple of really great books. Another one by Tom Carpenter is, what was his book? His first book. It just reads great. You can just read it. It's kind of a Q&A. Well, it's on my website anyway. There's a whole bunch of them under resources.
What's
spiritual the ear, spiritualear.org.
But there's no like meditative practice that's prescribed.
Wow, you can't beat the workbook for that. There's no meditative practice I've seen anywhere in any discipline that is more thorough than A Course in Miracles workbook lessons. Some of them will actually have you go through and change your meditation each hour. I mean, what meditation has ever guided us to do that? So, yeah, you can't...
Monastery, maybe.
Maybe a monastery guy with a cane.
Yeah,
he's like, you thinking the same thing?
Oh, I know one. Here, on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard you say meditate on something I've ever heard you say before.
Yeah. Well, once in a while we do the same one. We do it differently, I guess. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And when you run out of books, let me know. But they're on the website. And if you want which of those, which you do next, let me know. I can chat you through that, too.
Okay,
They're all different. Yeah. Good. Yeah, enjoy. Yeah, I could keep going, but that's a good start. Yeah. First, definitely, though, go through the workbook and handle a lesson a day, or at least a lesson in a row, and you can skip a day here or there, whatever your life does to you, but just kind of march your way through those lessons. And if you've read through the text yet, you might get it on audio, get it from me. I'll give it to you if you don't want to buy it. If you come to this meeting and you can't afford it, just let me know. I will give it to you, because, you know, let's do this thing together. But I'll read it for you. Right into your head.
That seems to help. You know, hearing you read it actually sometimes seems to be more powerful. I don't know if it's the inflection you put on various words or emphasis, but sometimes I find it more understandable.
I made a version of A Course in Miracles that, here it is on USB, and I changed the it. You know, the paragraphs of this three or four its in a row, I'll put in what it is. What is the world, or the miracle, or the Holy Spirit, or what have you.
That's one of the reasons why when you read it here, you can understand it a little easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does the it, and tells you what the it is.
Mm. Yeah. Because it was a personal conversation.
So how much is that?
Anything you want to pay, really. You know, so $40 if somebody wants one of these. And it's
how about 100?
Okay, I'll take 100. Yeah, and it, you can plug it in through your computer and put it, you know, in your car, your iPhone, and your MP3 player, and what have you. It's an audiobook format now versus the old MP3, and so it has some really great features. You're on your smartphone, you can get these great audiobook players where you can speed and slow it up, speed up and slow down, and you can
take this one.
Yep, take that one. Great, good to go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your support. doesn't forget where you left off. The whole book is on there, all the way through the supplements.
So how would I listen to it if I were in a car?
Through your cell phone. Some cars can actually play it directly through their USB port, but not most. You'd have to connect your cell phone to your car, which is easy, especially if you have a new car with Bluetooth. But your car has a little aux jack, and you take a little aux cable, one-to-one aux cable, and you plug it right into your phone. And you, on your stereo, you push the aux and it plays right through your
phone. But you have to download it onto your phone, yeah?
Yes, you do. That's correct.
So you put it on your computer and then download it on your phone.
Yes, that's correct.
Was about two steps too much for my old brain.
It comes with instructions.
Is it still two words in the way?
And the key is you go find it, and there's 14-year-old.
Yes.
Could you possibly figure this out for me?
Oh, I have a 14-year-old I'm going to go see tomorrow.
All right, that'll do it.
So if I gave you $30 now, can I owe you $10?
Sure.
Great.
But I don't have a second one to give you.
Well, then you can't do it.
Right.
Don't tell me sure.
You could still give them to them.
Yeah, I'll have to bring it next week.
I could give it to them, but I want it in my hand before I
Really.
All
right.
That's just ego talking. So you're asking him to trust you to bring him $10 next week, but you're not trusting him?
Yeah, right. I can give him 30 now. I trust. I just don't know.
No, no.
I'm kidding.
It's just fine because next week the price goes up. So.
Okay, you got me.
Well, Matt over here is about to offer a tour for 16.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, entrepreneur.
It's time to make it available. Yeah.
Take it home tonight.
No, I can wait another week.
Yeah, I'll bring you another one next week.
I don't know about that. I might need it tonight.
I'm not going to do my car long enough tonight. I live in the aroma, so wherever you live.
And by the way, even your car, you just take that thing and ram it into your car, it'll still play it. But it won't play it in order.
Mm.
And
so it randomizes?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
A few cars will play it in order. Most, for some reason, and I've been on the internet, it's a problem all over the world. Every car has this problem, except for a few.
So it just gives you exactly what you need when you need it?
You just random. All these cars doing the change up. Yeah, it's like, whoa. So, yeah.
I think it's because it keeps on going. And so wherever it ends up, the next time you turn it over.
Oh, good theory.
And then it goes around and keeps on going.
I guess that would be okay. You think you have some sense to it. But while you're driving, it'll switch up. Tracks won't be in order.
Oh,
interesting. Yeah. It's just fucking real. Anyway.
I don't know the cars where you could put it right into the USB port.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
you put it right in the USB port, and then your dashboard on the radio, select mode and go to USB. It will play it.
If you have that kind of car. But that's becoming pretty standard.
Most cars. They'll access it and they'll play it, but for some reason it's not in order. Okay, let's look at text page 429. We're starting a new section tonight. Oh, yeah. There's some really fun stuff coming up here. Yo.
Oh, dear.
Text page 429. Masako, what page?
429.
Gotta go.
Is that going to be sin as an adjustment?
Yeah, yes. Yes. Sin as an adjustment.
Sorry, where are we?
429.
No meditation. You threw me off.
I threw you there.
Right. Digging in.
We may have to do a meditation partway through once this concept is on the table. We'll see. But this is, of course, it's got a gift for you here. Leah?
The belief in sin is an adjustment. I'm going to keep going?
Yeah, read the whole paragraph.
And an adjustment is a change, a shift in perception, or a belief that what was so before has been made different. Every adjustment is therefore a distortion and calls upon defenses to uphold it against reality. Knowledge requires no adjustments, and in fact, is lost if any shift or change is undertaken. For this reduces it at once to mere perception, a way of looking in, which certainty is lost and doubt has entered. To this impaired condition are adjustments necessary, because it is not true. Who need adjust to truth, which calls on only what he is to understand?
All right, there's our meditation instruction right there. It's right in line what we were talking about earlier with Flamand's question.
Everything that comes up in this book is where I am in this book.
Nice. Because what it just laid out for us is the adjustment. Sin is another word for separation. And then you've got the truth, which is not separate. It's extending and constantly extending in its truthness. It always is. Even when you look at something that would be an illusion, from the perspective of truth, it can be understood. Even the illusion. From within the illusion, the truth is an attack. Because it would stop the things you're relying on. So let's take a moment and just think about this. The interruption, right? The sin, the separation, as an adjustment, trying to make sense out of your chaotic world. Mm-hmm. Versus rising above it, above the battleground, and seeing both sides comfortably. Let's just do that. Mm-hmm. That's very helpful for what we have to do tonight. It is time now for you to use separation in a positive way. For you, tonight, in a moment, are going to separate yourself from yourself. Your true self. From the illusion of a self. You're going to use separation in a helpful way. To separate illusion, undo the belief in the illusion that you are a separate being struggling against other separate beings, and awaken to know that you are a being, but you are a being that is an extension of all being. In the illusion, you must adjust, you must shift to avoid being hurt and losing. This is the ego's world. In the truth, there is no adjustment needed, because this is an extension of mind that you understand anything. It is a manifestation, a purposeful flowing of the unlimited. No loss is to be found, because who could take something away from everything? It's impossible. Everything is in truth. You've been busy dreaming of something separate from everything. Leave that now. Spend a moment with your mind moving to the everything. Just connect for a moment. Feel the certainty of the truth that is operating through you, for you, as you. But it is invisible. Rest there now, just for a moment. Here you are free. In the certainty of true being, you are so free. Free of all limit. Free to forgive any obstacle that could possibly come up. free to save the world from its own misery. Because you are in knowledge, you're above the battleground. You see both the bicycle and the driver equally. Neither one needs defending, neither one needs to be attacked. No adjustment necessary. In knowledge, in heaven, in certainty.
Is thought equivalent to sin? Or, like, thought is a modification of truth in a way? Is sin and thought, are those?
Thought is like a blackboard. It's meaningless. I could draw some really obscene things on that blackboard, or I could do a multicolored flower like we had for a couple of months. Thought is neutral.
It's not the separate, it's not what separates?
No, it's a movement of mind. It's an innocent movement of mind. A judgment on the thought. A thought of judgment, of evil. This separates. Yeah. A belief that's also using thought now. A belief that two powers exist, one that competes with the other. Say, God and the devil. Sometimes God wins, and you never know, sometimes the devil wins. If you use your blackboard for that, you can paint up a picture of loss. But the thought itself, it is nothing. It's neutral. But and they can be changed. As fast as they came up, they can go down. Yeah, it's a good question.
But what? Yeah, it's a good question, because it goes to the heart of what the ego is. But you can have a thought that's like ego based, though.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Like, I want to do better than that guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
And so it's hard to separate, because that's based on a belief that you have.
Yes.
Right? That yes. thought that you want to, is the thought of winners and losers.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that you have a belief system that gives you that thought. So
yes.
How can you untangle, how can you separate the two and know that that thought isn't ego-based? I mean, the thought is ego-based.
Yes.
You're saying it's neutral. So what part of that is neutral?
The thought is neutral.
Uh-huh.
The belief or the meaning that you give to it is not. Pretty neutral?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean a whole lot.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah. A little less innocent, but still kind of neutral.
It's a target.
What do you do with targets? You shoot them! With weapons!
It's a whirlpool.
Or you can drown in and get sucked down.
Yeah.
It's a time travel hole.
It's a time travel. It's just a pipe, you know.
Right.
It's a,
right.
right? So far, back to neutral. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a thought about thoughts.
Okay, the chalk is now a movement of mind. We're moving the mind here, and we're making a picture here. And it's the thought that you would hold is just as strong as the chalk on the board. It lasts as long as it's there. It has the power as long as it's there. And as long as we share it and talk about it and think about it, we'll build up its importance and its meaning. However, the good news about thought is that it disappears if you don't like it, and that's your only judge is your peace. Your personal peace, Matt. Nobody else matters. They are all fantasies. It's your personal peace that is your guide and your awakening. Yeah, so if you don't like this.
Okay.
So, for instance, you know about my neighbor.
Yep.
I can look down and say, he's just as innocent as I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that part's pretty easy for me to do. I mean, sometimes I struggle with it, but most of the time it's pretty easy. But when I look down, for instance, at myself, where I have a thought that I say, well, that comes from the ego, and I need to stop it. Just saying I need to stop it feels like I'm attacking myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I get into it. Yes. It's not about so much other things that happen to me. It's more about what I'm doing to myself, and I can't seem to stop it.
Yes. It's easier when you approach it in the way you eventually will, of Course in Miracles, which is, I need to stop rather than it. You might come to something in the essence of, I need to stop this nothing.
Okay, thank you. I just don't have the right
words. It recontextualizes the whole job.
I also find it really helpful to just acknowledge, like, oh, this thought is here again. Mm, like, just nice. Very neutrally.
Nice.
Rather than, oh, shit, not again, and I'm screwing up again. And but just, oh, that's interesting. Here I am with this thought. And then I sit with it, and it usually dissipates on its own.
So the thought in and of itself is not ego-based. It means nothing, but it's the interpretation of the thought that
Bingo.
Becomes the ego part.
Now there's creativity involved. Now there's commitment involved. Now there's a contribution, and well, yeah, you bet, and all the meaning and everything. Yeah,
yeah, the meaning you give it. Yeah.
What is lesson number one?
Oh, nothing has any meaning.
Whoa, newbie, new guy. Nothing I see means anything. I see. It's okay. It's with you. It says you see things. It doesn't see. No, you don't see anything. You don't see. You no. You see. But it doesn't mean anything. Say it again, Mark.
The thought in and of itself doesn't mean anything. It's the interpretation of the thought.
And one of the favorite things that you ever said is, it doesn't mean anything that it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, yeah. It's empty and meaning. It's empty and meaningless that it's empty and meaningless.
Yes! Lesson number one. All right, you have 364 more to go. So the next one comes in really strong. Well, if you're stuck with having meaning, you have given everything you see all the meaning it has for you. Oh yeah, busted on that one. It's the meaning that you give these things. Then and themselves are nothing. The whole world is nothing. It's something real, but it's nothing true. What we do with that blackboard, it's infinite. It has no meaning. We chat it up and make a peace sign or make crosshairs for a rifle. Still, you could be free of that by your choice of what you're thinking. I'd like to say that your whole life is your next thought. Your next thought is you. And so, is it? As I say, rather than attack something, we release nothing. It's the essence of, I need do nothing. You really do need to do nothing and get on it right away. Especially if you're not happy. You better start doing nothing quick. Yeah. It's good. All right, Mark, paragraph two.
Okay. Adjustments of
yes.
any kind are of the ego. Mm-hmm. For it is the ego's fixed belief that all relationships depend upon adjustments to make of them what it would have them be. Direct relationships in which there are no interferences are always seen as dangerous. The ego is the self-appointed mediator of all relationships, making whatever adjustments it deems necessary and interposing them between those who would meet to keep them separate and prevent their union. It is this studied interference that makes it difficult for you to recognize your holy relationship for what it is.
Studied interference?
Yes. All right, I guess we're going to have to come back. I thought maybe we could speed through this section tonight, but...
us.
No.
Thank you. That idea.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought maybe we could group some paragraphs, but no, there's too much in here.
Is there an example of some sort that would bring that, bring some clarity for me on what this is referring to exactly?
Sure. The things that we're talking about here is, you know, the special relationship in A Course in Miracles is where you have two people who are there to basically serve each other's happiness and don't break the contract. The holy relationship is there where each other are there to serve each other's happiness, and it is an honor and a pleasure to do so. Because you are seeing the other's happiness as yours versus getting it from the other one. So, basic relationship. Are you there to get happy, or are you there to be happy? So, and when we read through this, we'll put some examples in there as we go along. But first, we go through the section once, and then we'll go back and do our normal thing, which is go paragraph by paragraph.
Can I just make one comment, Mike? Well, I think my therapist has been saying to me for 30 years I've been seeing him, that our subconscious, which I'm now calling the ego, knows us so well that we can come up with an argument or a letting go or whatever of everything, and can come up with the next thing that's going to get us.
Oh, yeah. Never underestimate your ego. It's clever.
Yeah.
Why do I keep saying that? Why do I keep saying not to underestimate your ego? Why doesn't the Holy Spirit just crush the ego?
The Holy Spirit doesn't recognize it.
Because we read it. Didn't you read this book at least a few pages, and isn't it enough? Masako, isn't it enough just to read a few pages and to be done? I mean, after all, the truth is on every page in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. We pull it out in every paragraph. It's a stunning truth that should be enough to extinguish that little nasty gnat of an ego. Why is it that it doesn't just go away so suddenly?
I forget what we talked about before with something having to do with that the ego is as powerful as the spirit.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Why is the ego as powerful? Isn't the ego false?
There's only one power.
There's only one power!
The power of God is what the ego uses.
The ego uses the power of God to make up its fantasies and dreams. Never underestimate the ego. It has the power of God.
Because it's what you are.
The difference is that it's real enough, but it's just not true, see? It's not representing love. Love is what you are in truth. You're pretending not to be love. You're pretending to be separate. Was enough of this here. We didn't see this paragraph. Let's go read it again. Text page 244. You might wonder what the beep is going on here. What is happening?
You have been here a few times because my book got my to it.
Oh, yeah. You're going to wear this one out this year. It's my new favorite. It just has Course in Miracles narrowed down. What happened in this? How could this dream even exist? What's going on here? In a couple of paragraphs. I kind of my new favorite for that go-to. And let's start with paragraph 10. So... Bridget, what, did you read?
No, I didn't.
Would you read for paragraph 10 on page 244?
You who prefer separation to sanity cannot obtain it in your right mind.
Full stop.
Not kidding.
Cannot. You cannot get the separation in your right mind. You'd have to be in your wrong mind. You'd have to be dreaming up of separation, where there's loss and there's struggle and there's wish instead of will. It's a huge difference. It's a huge difference. It's a whole different game. That's what we call it, wrong mind. It's real enough, but it's not true. it does not last. It does not give and is not love. There's no joy. And as of course beautifully says poetically, if you think there's joy here, it says, wait till you find one instance of true peace, and then multiply that times 1,000, and that 1,000 times another 1,000, and 1,000 more, and then, comma, you will have but a glimpse of what it means for you to really be awake in heaven. Just putting it in perspective. Okay, let's continue.
You were at peace until you asked for special favor, and God did not give it, for the request was alien to him, and you could not ask this of a father who truly loved his son.
Wouldn't God give you anything you ask if he was really loving? I mean, a really, really good father that's just super wealthy, like he's like God. No, he is God. Would he just give you anything and everything?
No, no. No, because he wants you to have true love. And if you ask it, you ask him for war, he's not going to give you that.
I think the other answer to that one is, if you go against the Father, then he's not going to give it whatever you gave him. He's not going to even listen to you most of the time.
If you're going against it.
Yeah, if you're going against the Father,
yeah, it's the same thing.
You're not going to get what you asked for.
Yeah,
since you are an extension of the Father.
Right. He's only going to give you one thing.
He'll only give you one thing.
Right.
The truth.
Yeah.
He'll give you all of it. More of the truth, actually. He'll help you invent more truth.
Right.
But truth cannot give false. You cannot get false from the truth. And the Course says this beautifully. It says, death does not come from life. Mm. That's the teaching in one sentence. Mm-hmm. We'll read on.
Therefore, you made of him an unloving father, demanding of him what only such a father could give.
What only such an unloving father could give. Misery, pain, and separation. You made me separate from you, Dad, and take love out of my life and let me forever search for it. Oh, that's what I want. What? What are you saying? Okay, let's keep going.
And the peace of God's Son was shattered, for he no longer understood his Father. He feared what he had made, but still more did he fear his real Father, having attacked his own glorious equality with him.
Isn't that a description of separation made real? Mm-hmm. A fall from grace, a fall from heaven? The prodigal son leaving home to go do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
To hell with a great farm with a food and jobs and people who love me and I love back. And no, I just want to go out on my own and do my own thing.
Right. So like every parable in the Bible, you know, Adam being cast out of the Garden of Eden, the devil being, you know, thrown out of heaven, you know, falling down. And
It's all that, right? It's all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you hear it in that context, when you hear the Catholic tradition in that context, it's beautiful.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's the teaching. It's the essential
teaching.
Doesn't
people take it literally?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oops.
All right.
Now it's fighting words. Okay. Julie?
In peace he needed nothing and asked for nothing. In war he demanded everything and found nothing. For how could the gentleness of love respond to his demands except by departing in peace and returning to the Father? If the Son did not wish to remain in peace, he could not remain at all. For a darkened mind cannot live in the light, and it must seek a place of darkness where it can believe it is where it is not.
Check out those words. Where it can believe it is where it is not. The darkened mind must have dark. Now, because of what you are, that's what we say, never underestimate the mind, never underestimate the ego. Because of what you are in truth, You have no limit. None. How did you do it? You clever creator, you. How did you do it? How did you manage to give yourself what God had just said in the previous paragraph couldn't give you? You got anyway. How did you do it?
Went somewhere where I could believe that things could be done.
Yes, you did. You made somewhere where you could believe that. And the Course describes that in page 101, paragraph 6. And it says what you did is you, Holy Son of God, you, made, not created now, creation's forever. Only love creates, extends, and expands like this, forever, all connected. That's creation? No. You made, which is a private dream, a sleep. You made a sleep where the mind can be disconnected. Like when you go to sleep, you're disconnected from your world. You made a sleep. And then, that's already an invention. And then inside the sleep, you made dreams. You invented a world inside your mind that was private now, closed off from sharing, which means, mark my words, is not loving. Sharing is loving, straight up. You stop sharing. You closed off part of your mind to not share on purpose. But in order to do that, you had to make a sleep, and then you made a dream. And inside this dream, you made up characters and powers and separation and loss. The Course just calls that you've had nightmares. Back to quotes. But, comma, the dream is not real and God calls you to awake. Period. So that's the solution. That's what happened. You are unlimited. However, you cannot be, watch my words now, be means true identity, be. You cannot be something you're not. It's paragraph one. You can pretend, you can think and fantasize. This is where you got around God's, I can't do that for you. Son, you have to go to sleep, make a dream, and do it yourself. And I'll be waiting for you with open arms when you wake. You will awake because you are love. And you're trying to deny that by having separate powers that don't share. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? Let's continue.
I loved what you said because I was thinking when every time it's explained what we did.
Yes.
It went too fast for me to get. I went to sleep part.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to. If I don't go to sleep, then I can only know God.
Amen, sister.
But if I can make myself go to sleep, then I can dream whatever I want to dream.
That's right.
Whatever comes up.
That's right.
And you forget you're the dreamer of the dream.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. On purpose. Mm-hmm. On purpose, you take and you manufacture a piece of your mind that cannot remember.
So it's kind of like when they say we as an extension of God, had this little blip where we created our own illusions.
Uh-huh.
That's too big of a step for me.
Yep, very good.
I had to go, what you just said, I had to go to sleep in order to let myself do that.
I'm here to help.
I know,
they come so fast. I know, I see it myself when I'm reading it. I go, wow, you handled that quickly. But it's all here. Let's continue.
Who?
Oh.
Julie, when you're still my paragraph?
Were you mid-paragraph?
I don't know where I ended. Does anybody know where I ended?
Who?
Sorry, I lost it.
I must have stopped you.
Somewhere in there for a
I think I'm just at sentence six. Okay, God did not allow this to happen, yet you demanded that it happen. And therefore believed that it was so.
And then when they say God did not allow,
yes,
that doesn't ring true for me.
Mm-hmm.
I got the impression that God just wasn't involved in all of this in the first place.
Yeah, well, that's the point, is that God doesn't even know what you're dreaming, because that's the essence of a dream, is it's private,
yeah,
disconnected. So, yeah, they didn't allow this to happen, and the word happen, you could capitalize that. It will make the sentence more clear. God did not allow this to be created. God did not allow this to be manifested in truth.
Right, there's different ways to interpret the word allow. It's not like somebody asked him for permission to do that.
Yes.
He just, you know...
He just didn't do it.
He just didn't do it, right.
But yes. Does God allow us to go to sleep?
God cannot stop us from going to sleep.
As an extension of God, God can't stop us from going to sleep.
Darn straight.
Okay, that doesn't ring true. How come?
Because then you wouldn't be an extension of God. You'd be limited in power. If you are not allowed, you can do anything you want, child, but don't go through that door. It's not for you. Don't make up this whole fantasy of sleep that you're about to do, where you could go off and ride a dragon. No. I'm daddy, and I'm telling you, don't want you to do that. Don't want this sleeping thing going on here, because I'm dreaming where I'm not watching. No, that's not. See, that breaks the essential truth of what you are. To have you limited and have a no anywhere in your existence. Now, God's very comfortable because God is truth. God is not a being or a personality that would steer anything. God is the truth. And so, the truth always survives. Why? Well, because it's the truth. And anything else is not true. It doesn't survive. Nothing true can be threatened. And, page one, nothing real can be threatened and nothing unreal exists. Yes, yeah. So as much as you can think about it, it's not a problem. It doesn't exist. That's from above the battleground, see? That's from the proper perspective of bicycle rider and car driver. Each doing their thing. It's not personal. It's they're doing their thing. So, nothing real can be threatened is a statement of truth. Because if it's real, then it is. And it has all the power of God. Remember, God is not a person. God is the truth. Nothing unreal exist. And the unreal can be threatened, and it is threatened constantly. That's one of the ways we know that it's not real. We know that it's not true. Right away, page one, he's already throwing out this coin. It's how simple this is. But we get quite invested in the things that are unreal. So we got to do some undoing. Okay, I interrupted you.
What?
I interrupted Mark?
No, we're just on paragraph 12.
Oh, all right. Okay. Oh, yeah. Funny that Mark brought up war in the beginning. That's right. Oh, yeah. Four. Paragraph 11, sentence four. If the Son did not wish to remain in heaven in peace, he could not remain at all. Quick little definition of what heaven is. It's essentially peaceful because you understand it is you manifesting without conflict. Not in peace means that you're not getting your way. Here we call it depression. You're not getting the things you want. For darkened mind cannot live in the light, and the darkened mind must seek a place of darkness where it can believe that it is where it's not. With that power, it can. You are unlimited. That's why it's, you're like a kid. It's been given the keys to the kingdom and all the power to go with it, and the keys to the car, and It will be best to learn your power. Learn of your power. That's part of the benefit of this world now, is to appreciate your power, to appreciate how much misery or happiness is in your next thought. You choose it, so it is. It's an awesome discovery. Awesome. Yeah. Yet, last sentence, you, the word you should be underlined, you, you little pipsqueak creator, you, you little teenage manifester, God, the things you come up with, that's the you we're talking about. You demanded that it happen, this impossible thing where you not be love. You demanded that it happen, and therefore, because you demand, you, you pipsqueak creator with all this power, you didn't even know how powerful you are, you went and used it, well then, you get it. In whatever way you're willing to follow up on. Didn't make truth, but you did make up the sleep and then the dream and then the nightmare. And intermixing the nightmare is some pretty neat stuff too. Some really great stuff. However, you're tending to believe the nightmares more than you're believing your great stuff in this world. So it just isn't fun. And that's why you're called to awake. Nothing disappears unless you decide it disappears, by the way. People are worried about being really peaceful. Because then what's the fun? What's the challenge? What's the motivation? Unless there's just a little trouble, a little temptation maybe. What good is it all? Very mistaken in how limited you are in this experience. How very limited you are in this separate experience, just to try to get what this teenage creative mind is trying to get.
So we have, well, we have so many limited, we have so many limited thoughts and beliefs. It's like pretty much everything, right? We build our whole world around it. And like the meditation you just did, like sort of dropping away from that for a moment, it's like very powerful. But really, like, how do you, when you have so many limiting beliefs, like, how do you even, like, that's kind of daunting to think about. Like, how do you, where do you begin? I mean, yes, I've done the lessons, but, like,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great, Julie. Because you know what? Like you said, there's so many daunting thoughts that you're steeped in, and truly, the older you are, the more practice you are in the blocks. If you've never tried to stop them before, you've got a lot more to stop.
Not for God's sake.
Deeply embedded variety of reasons why things don't go the way they should. So,
and loss is on the top of that list, right? It's like the underlying...
Proven loss!
Right.
Proven loss! How many pets have you lost by now? And unfortunately, we have. It's not even something it's fun to use as an example, because it's happened so many times in my meetings as people lose their children. They're not supposed to die. They die. You will lose your kids. It happens, right? In this world. How can you step up out of your own children dying? Step up out of that and be free, is your question. Well, for that, you're going to need a miracle. Honestly, you're going to need a miracle. You're not going to step out of that if that's real. If your love died with your child or your pet, most innocent thing you ever loved in your life died. Who set up that program? It was a wonderful pet. Loved me, I loved it. I took care of it, it took care of me. Why can't they just go on forever? Why not? What the hell?
Like, even if all there is love, how can my pet die?
Yeah! How can that happen? And how can I feel such loss? You're going to need a miracle, because those thoughts real means you should be depressed for the rest of your life. Because the next thing's going to die.
that's based on a value system where you think that, you know, things, there's a certain order to the way things should be. And anything that disrupts that order, like, throws you into a state of unbalance. And you can't regain your balance because that order has just been disrupted. You know, if you believe, like, if you're good, then everything's going to turn out okay. Like, you're going to go to heaven and, you know, think people will greet you with smiles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, everybody that you know will love you because they know that you're a good person. Yeah. You know, and you'll never be robbed, or, you know, you'll never get in a car accident, and you'll never lose your money.
Right? Yeah,
you'll never
right.
lose your job.
Because you're a good person.
Because you're a good person and you did things right.
Did them right.
You know, yeah. And then one thing happens wrong,
yeah.
you know, like, you know, your dog dies, and then you're in despair because that shouldn't happen.
Yes.
You know.
That's right.
It shouldn't happen.
So you know what? You're going to need a reverse miracle in that situation because your dog died and you did everything right.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to come up with a justification on how you were so high and good that you did right and you'd be so low. So reverse miracle, which is sin. You're going to need sin as an adjustment to be able to make sense of your
life. Well, some people do that, right? Something bad happens to them. They lose a spouse and then they say, well, fuck it. Then I may as well just do whatever the hell I want now.
God sucks.
Yeah.
There is no God. I don't want to meet him. The devil is real. He's more powerful than God because my dog died and this thing happened.
And then you become a devil worshiper.
And the sin is... Yeah, because at least you're worshiping something with some power to it.
Right.
Has the ability to take life.
Yeah.
That's more powerful than God. God can give it life. Okay, that was a theory. But I know for sure the devil can take it.
Yeah, I really like doing crossword puzzles. And it's kind of like crossword puzzles is a good metaphor for this. Because, you know, it comes up with a clue, and you got to figure out what the answer is.
Yes.
And you use everything that you know in order to figure out what that clue is, and sometimes you can't.
Yes.
And then, to get good at doing crossword puzzles, like I can finish all the New York Times crossword puzzles now.
All right.
Because the way to answer those questions is just to let the answer come.
Yeah, keep working around it.
Keep working around it. And
it'll fall out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I thought this the other night, just last night, I was challenged with somebody who was wondering what the hell, you know, what happened in this, with this existence, you know, what's going on? And I thought, it's like you willfully going into a stranger's house and cooking in somebody else's kitchen. You don't know where the pans are, and when you find the pans, there are no lids. Well, they must have. Don't they have lids? Don't they already have lids? Shouldn't there be a lid for this pan?
There should be.
You're digging around, and you find, oh, well, I found the cutting board. I'm going to need that later. Where's the serving spoon? Everything's getting cold, but I can't find a serving spoon. And that's this world. Piecing together with unfamiliarity. You have the desire to love, because you are loved. You have that desire to manifest what you are and share it. Like you desire to cook in your own kitchen, you just whip stuff out and put it together, cleaning while you go. It's beautiful. Miss Uncle.
We all talk about that inner peace. And so when I first began studying the Course, the inner peace looked like it was some kind of a feeling, right, or an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then as my study and my embodiment evolved, and this is where I am right now, is peace for me, it's a kind of a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the ego is coming at us left and right every moment of our day. And if we can, it's like riding a damn bicycle,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all about balancing, because mm-hmm. it's going to come at you and it's going to throw those punches.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to fall and you get up and you just stay on the course. So for me, that's what inner peace looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So in that attitude, then I find strength in that, okay, well, I don't care what comes at me, because I can get up and mm-hmm. stay, you know. It's about balancing. Mm-hmm. It's not about being balanced.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like your analogy, because on a bicycle, if you just pedal, don't freak out and put your feet down or anything, you just pedal. Now, the momentum and everything on the bicycle is holding itself up. When you go slow and you're so tenuous, you fall over. But if you just trust and go, don't pay too much attention to the details, you know, it just flows.
That's right. You have to trust that it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's really strange, the idea of, like, we're getting on a bicycle.
Yes.
Right, that it actually works, right?
Yes.
That you're sitting on this thing that's like this
real
thing and yeah. somehow and moving.
Over bumps and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
You get to a knowing after somehow you've managed to pedal on, and you can pedal right over all sorts of stuff. You get this knowing that there's stability there. But no way can somebody just tell you it's there, you know it.
Right.
You gotta do it.
And you can't figure it out.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. You know, I think I did figure it out, though. Why is it that a bicycle cannot stand without its kickstand? And it's because it's always too tired. I had to give you my bicycle joke. I had to give you my bicycle.
Where's the snare drum?
You said something that applied exactly to what I experienced yesterday, and I haven't known what to do with it. And that is, my neighbor mm-hmm. has had a dog for 14, 15 years, that they are one. The dog is with him all the time, he's with the dog all the time. And she had to be put to sleep yesterday, or I think it was yesterday. So his wife came over and told me the day before, she brought some mail, the mailman put in their mailbox, came over and handed me the mailbox. And he yelled something at her, and I couldn't quite, he was in the car or the yard, I couldn't quite get what it was, but she said, I thought she said, he wanted to tell you that he was going to have to put his dog to sleep. Mm. So I said, well, tell him I am so sorry, because I know how difficult that can be.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided I was the devil, because he wrote me a text last night, and he said, it's not my dog that's upsetting me. It's the fact I can't get any sleep because of you. I thought, I can't even say
you're
something nice.
You're his favorite.
I'm his favorite devil.
You're his favorite.
What did you say to him that upset him?
I said to his wife.
Okay, well, let's talk about it another time. that's a whole investigation. Yeah, and it has nothing to do with the dog. Yeah, thank you. That's something for us to do.
So now when I look down at him from above,
yeah.
I can, instead of saying, for fuck's sake, nothing I can do, it works, I can look down and say, he's just doing what you said we do.
Yes.
Which is, we decide God isn't working and we might as well go with the devil.
Yeah, and it's sweeter for him to be a victim.
Yeah.
Than to understand that he's making his own misery.
Yeah. And I feel sorry for him.
And then when he lost his dog, he really needs to be a victim now, because somebody will say, you poor man. He feels empty inside and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And he is reaching out for some kind of strength or power from somewhere. And the closest thing is you, because he could blame something on you.
Yeah.
And get the attention off of him, his aching heart. Yeah, you're his favorite. Yeah, you're good for that. Yeah.
I know sometimes when these circumstances, these unpleasant, disturbing circumstances that we have to face with, and in the moment we realize, oh my God, call for help.
Yeah. Right?
And even when we have that idea, it might take us a while to let that enter, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even the holiest among us.
Which I'm not. I'm one of it, but I'm not.
Okay, let's continue.
Where are we?
And now we're on 12, and I think, Matt?
Sure.
Oh, was it Mark?
Oh, came this way.
Yeah, I think we went past.
We started with Julie Reed.
You read 10.
I think we came from both sides.
We started with Matt.
No, we started with Leah.
We started with Matt.
I just thought we skipped me. Okay.
Oh, man, this squirrel.
I think it's Luann.
Totally screwed up.
I think it's her turn to read.
No, Matt hasn't read yet. No, he has.
I think he has. Matt, it's time for you to read.
Okay,
again.
I'll read.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I thought so too. I don't know what happened.
To single out is to make alone and thus make lonely. Mm-hmm. God did not do this to you. Could he set you apart knowing that your peace lies in his oneness?
Here it comes. Here's what happened.
He denied you only your request for pain, for suffering is not of his creation. Having given you creation, he could not take it from you.
That's it.
He could but answer your insane request with a sane answer that would abide with you in your insanity. And this he did.
Which is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. No one who hears his answer will... No one who hears his answer but will give up insanity. For his answer is the reference point beyond illusions.
Beautiful, beyond, great word.
From which you can look back on them and see them as insane.
Yes.
But seek this place and you will find it, for love is in you and will lead you there.
Just like that. Mm. That's what happened and that's what we're doing about it. Right there in those paragraphs. Okay, quick. Go back to page 429. Now, we'll try not to interrupt, and let's just read through this section.
Is that possible?
I don't know. This is good stuff.
Okay, I'm going to reward you if you can get through.
Okay.
I'll give you a nice handshake.
Okay, goody. I'll take it. Okay, let's continue to go.
It's my turn now.
All right, then it's your turn.
The holy do not interfere with truth.
Yes.
They are not afraid of it, for it is within the truth they recognize their holiness and rejoice at what they see. They look on it directly, without attempting to adjust themselves to it or it to them. And so they see that it was in them, not deciding first where they would have it be. Their looking merely asks the question, and it is what they see that answers them. Mm-hmm. You make the world and then adjust to it, and mm-hmm. it to you. Nor is there any difference between yourself and it and your perception, which made them both.
Yeah, isn't that sweet?
Speaking mm-hmm. of a lot of its, though.
Indeed. Yeah. We'll comb through it. I'm not, try not to interrupt here. Kenny, you good?
Yeah.
All right, bring it.
A simple question yet remains and needs an answer. Did you like what you
How's it working for you?
A world of murder and attack through which you thread your timid way through constant dangers alone and frightened, hoping at most that death will wait a little longer before it overtakes you and you disappear. You made this up. It is a picture of what you think you are and how you see yourself. A murderer is frightened, and those who kill fear death. All there are but the fearful thoughts of those who would adjust themselves to a world made of fearful by their adjustments. Mm-hmm. And they look out in sorrow from what it is sad within and see the sadness there.
Yeah.
What a world, huh?
Yeah. Projection and extension, and we seem to forget that cause and effect are connected. Hmm. That thoughts do not leave their source.
Where's the peaceful paragraph.
Yeah, where's the happiness after that downer? Man!
I think it's the paragraph before it, isn't it? The happiness rests in paragraph 3.
God, I hope there's some more light somewhere after that.
Get your flashlights out.
Whoa! Oh, well, let's see what happens in the next paragraph. Have you not wondered what the world is really like? How it would look through happy eyes? See, the world you see, it's but a judgment on yourself. It's not there at all. Your judgment lays a sentence on it, it justifies it, and it makes it real. Such is the world you see, a judgment on yourself and made by you. And look, this sickly picture of yourself, it's carefully preserved by the ego, whose image it is, and which it loves, and placed outside you in the world. And to this world must you adjust, as long as you believe this picture is outside and has you at its mercy. This world is merciless. And were it outside you, you should indeed be fearful. Yet, wait a minute. It was you who made it merciless. And now, if mercilessness seems to look back at you, it can be corrected.
That's the light Kenny was looking for.
Yeah, there's hope.
Could be corrected.
If you choose. All right, he's a little pessimistic, okay. But it could be. If you choose. That's a good point. It won't be on its own. It'll exist as that circle will stay on that chalkboard a long time, unless it's changed. These thoughts, seeming so powerless, just the same power. Hate, the same power. Same power as love. They're equally powerful. In fact, Horace says, "Isn't it here? Honestly, isn't it easier to say, 'I hate'?" And to say I love. Isn't it just a little easier to say I hate?
Not anymore,
good. Watch yourself through the day. How many times do you say I love and mean it? Versus I hate this, or that didn't happen. Oh, not him again on the radio. Oh,
I avoid
that.
Those things I hate.
No. You see all the red lights go on and the light is turned red and it just stay green a little longer. God.
I'm trying to go fast enough to get through it if it's green.
Yeah, what does yellow mean? Speed up?
And I get so mad when people slow down even before it's yellow.
Not even yellow when you're slowing down. You're dissipating loss. Go!
That's good.
Yeah. All right.
I want to ask a question. It's probably a stupid one, but...
How do we stop? Did I interrupt? Right. You're going to interrupt? She's doing this.
What? Yes. Yeah. When I read it, when it uses the word you,
yep,
I always change it to I. Is that okay?
Or yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, thank you.
Don't make it personal. No problem at all.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue. Where do we leave off?
Paragraph 6,
Leah.
Who in a holy relationship can long remain unholy?
Mm-hmm.
The world the holy see is one with them, just as the world the ego looks upon is like itself. The world the holy see is beautiful because they see their innocence in it. They did not tell it what it was. They did not make adjustments to fit their orders. They gently questioned it and whispered, "What are you?" And he who watches over all perception answered, "Take not the judgment of the world as answer to the question, 'What am I?' The world believes in sin, but the belief that made it as you see it is not outside you."
That thought paragraph of light.
Good news. Good, Matt.
Okay. Seek not to make the Son of God adjust to his insanity.
Mm-hmm.
There is a stranger in him who wandered carelessly into the home of truth and who will wander off. He came without a purpose, but he will not remain before the shining light the Holy Spirit offered and you accepted.
Yes.
For there the stranger is made homeless and you are welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Ask not this transient stranger, what am I? He is the only thing in all the universe that does not know. Yes. Yet it is he you ask, and it is to his answer that you would adjust. This one wild thought, fierce in its arrogance, and yet so tiny and so meaningless, it slips unnoticed through the universe of truth, becomes your guide. To it you turn to ask the meaning of the universe. And of the one blind thing in all the seeing universe of truth, you ask, how shall I look upon the Son of God?
Yo! Go for it, Julie.
Oh, gosh, sorry. I'm just taken aback. Does one ask judgment of what is totally bereft of judgment? And if you have, would you believe the answer and adjust to it as if it were the truth? The world you look on is the answer that it gave you, and you have given it power to adjust the world to make its answer true.
Mm-hmm.
You asked this puff of madness, for the meaning of your unholy relationship, and adjusted it according to its insane answer. How happy did it make you? Did you meet your brother with joy to bless the Son of God and give him thanks for all the happiness that he held out to you? Did you recognize your brother as the eternal gift of God to you? Did you see the holiness that shone in both you and your brother to bless the other? That is the purpose of your holy relationship. Ask not the means of its attainment in the one thing that still would have it be unholy. Give it no power to adjust the means and end.
Great paragraph on the holy relationship and the spouse relationship. I can't wait to get there. Woo! Right on it. Bridget.
Prisoners bound with heavy chains for years, starved and emancipated.
Emaciated.
Weak and exhausted, and with eyes so long cast down in darkness they remember not the light. Do not leap up in joy and instant they are made free. It takes a while for them to understand what freedom is. You grope but feebly.
Yeah, weakly.
In the dust and found your brother's hand, uncertain whether to let it go or to take hold on life so long forgotten. Strengthen your hold and raise your eyes unto your strong companion, in whom the meaning of your freedom lies. He seems to be crucified beside you, and yet his holiness remained untouched and perfect, and with him beside you, you shall this day enter with him to paradise and know the peace of God.
Such is my will for you and your brother, and for each of you, for one another, and for himself. Here there is only holiness and joining without limit. For what is heaven but union, direct and perfect, and without the veil of fear upon it? Here are we one, holding with perfect gentleness upon each other and on ourselves. Here all thoughts of any separation between us become impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You who were a prisoner in separation are now made free in paradise. And here would I unite with you, my friend, my brother, and myself.
And myself. Man.
Oh, okay. Your gift unto your brother has given me the certainty our union will be soon. Share, then, this faith with me and know it is justified. There's no fear in perfect love because it knows no sin, and it must look on others as on itself. Look Looking with charity within, what can it fear without? The innocent see safety, and the pure in heart see God within his Son, and look on to, unto the Son to lead them to the Father. And where else would they go but where they will be? You and your brother now will lead the other to the Father, as surely as God created his Son holy and kept him Son. So, in your brother is the light of God's eternal promise of your immortality. See him as sinless, and there can be no fear in you.
Guess what it ended with? That last paragraph ended the same way the entire text ends, talking about your brother.
Yeah.
Talking about dealing with your brother, the other dude in your life. How key is that to healing the separation?
It's all about forgiveness, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, let's have a circle. And we will dig into this next week.
Because we didn't do enough tonight.
Well, we had some work to do. Well, yeah, we did a lot of good work. There's more to do.
See you, Andrew.
Hey, good to see you guys.
Yeah, good to see you.
Blessings.
Good night. Oh, it wasn't the last one
getting up this time. Oh, a small circle. Take a deep breath. Recognize that what we talked about tonight was no less than your personal holiness. Mm. It is you, the real you, that's called to stand up and to gather together all these fragmented pieces that were dreamed as separate, and recognize it is you who connect them all. It was only a dream that you were some piece that was competing. A dream with a nightmare. But now, above the battleground, you see that it is you. It's you everywhere. And this is what the non-adjustment is when it sees everything as still one. Not competing and not separate. This is our journey home. To be able to look at the same things where we saw problems once before, and we see solutions in the very things that were problems. That's where the answer is. We don't need to run from it. We need to see it with the right eyes. See it from above. The bicycle and the car driver equally. And now it's a dance. Like any dance. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Good, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.